a noble?
Mutation to a higher rate requires acceptance of the mantle. The mantle is in part awareness of what all life has sacrificed to allow you to be. That arouses a deep kind of personal guilt. You do not feel that guilt.
I've violated the wishes of my family. I've involved these humans in my stupidity. And what will happen to them when you're done? I feel guilt all through me. Guilt!
Only arrogance, the didact said. To dare is to risk selflessly, not to waste your life because you see no other purpose to your existence.
This struck me to my heart, and I kicked at the deck, wanting to drop below the stars, go back, forget this awfulness. I reached out as if to strike him, and then saw the difference in our sizes, in our situation. Saw his weary sadness, and thought of the pitiful memories still held in the war sphinxes that had protected his cryptum for 1,000 years, the last of his children. The didact knew no other duty but this. His wife was far away. He had not seen her in literally ages, did not know whether she was using him for ends that might not have been foreseen when he was forced into meditative exile. Yet, he trusted. He served. I pulled back my tiny fist. I don't want your sadness, I said.
It is the mantle.
You mourn. This set him back a little.
I spent thousands of years mourning and found no virtue in it.
He settled, crossing his great legs, leaning his torso forward until there was very little room left for me under the unwinking stars. I got down on my knees beside him and crossed my own legs. Tell me about your exile.
Not wise, perhaps, but rudely curious, he said with a sigh.
What did you experience in the cryptum?
Let us just say I did not find peace. What all the great higher domains of the universe mandate for forerunners is never peace, never solace, never rest, never consistency, logic, or even pure passion. Frankly, I envy your perversity, Manipular.
I did not know what to make of that. Your difficulty is you regret all you have done, and you mourn. The didact's arms dropped, his shoulders relaxed, and I saw a glint of more than just acknowledgement, more than just recognition. He spoke in a low, grinding voice.
My blood and seed wasted. My life with my family, my wife, so brief. I felt so much hatred. Hatred is still with me. Perhaps you were right to reject my imprint. The mantle is as far beyond me now as...
You weren't prepared to mutate either, were you? In combat, mutation was forced on you. A brevet mutation. Someone saw your potential even through your flaws. The didact inspected me, and for a moment, in that great stone visage, carved or artfully mauled by history and grief. He lifted his lips and almost smiled, as if he were still young. I did not know that was possible.
Touched by your blade, Manipular,
he said. I accept my flaws as you accepted yours, and I will transcend them as you did. I am as ready as I'll ever be, Promethean. I was actually trembling, but not with fear. The didact heaved himself up and waved his hand.
So be it, again.
A column studded with small spherules rose from the deck and slowly rotated to press against my side. The spherules twisted on stalks to touch my skin, access my points of nervous and genetic energy, of metabolic and catabolic reserves. Memory, muscle intent passion, intellect, stability, and that peculiar connection to the mantle that all have but seldom know or feel. The points of my being, as embarrassing as having my organs of sex examined and outlined, more so, for forerunners were never shy about sex.
Mentor and sponsor, he said.
Another column rose, and more spherules surrounded and connected with his larger frame.
From my life let the best be taken. Let the growth inherent in this youth be examined and maximized. Let all that is potential and beloved of the mantle be nurtured and encouraged. Let all that was past be put away, and all that is future brought forward, made real and physical.
The didact's words moved on. I no longer heard them, but I felt them. Transfixed, I could not speak. My body was already responding. Chapter 16. The didact removed the spherules by hand. It might have been hours later. The stars rotated slowly to a new position. I seemed to be at the center of the universe. I could neither reason nor believe that it was our ship that had moved. I was taken aft and placed in a large cubicle that could have comfortably contained a squad of warriors. Gray, a single light in the rear wall, empty of all ornament, clean, slightly cool.
Eat nothing for a time, but drink when you are thirsty,
the didact told me, arranging my limbs on the bunk. The bunk was larger than I needed, for now.
Your body will be upset. Not all the changes will happen right away. It could take many days.
I feel a shadow in my head, I said.
The old you. Soon you will experience a cleaner, swifter mind. You will feel an arrogant kind of exhilaration. And then that, too, will pass.
In the solitude of that cubicle, I felt the first changes. A slow, careful ache throughout my limbs. My hands, in particular, hurt. I looked down upon them and thought they already looked larger, less pale, the skin grittier and grayer. I had always thought that higher rates were less attractive than manipulars. My youthful beauty was passing. I was growing uglier. I did not care. So when did you realize that you had grown up? I thought I saw Shakas stand beside my bunk, watching with a frown. How remarkable that I used to be like him. So much alike. I wondered whether the Gaius imposed upon him and Riser by the librarian felt anything like this mutation. I wanted to compare my experiences with his, but the room was empty. I drank some water. For a few minutes, I thought I experienced yet another voice in my head, not me, not my past me, or any future me. It seemed to contain a great deal of knowledge, none of it of any use. It was knowledge that belonged to others, from very far away, other existences where life and death were meaningless, light and darkness twisted together, where the twin fists of time uncurled their fingers and joined in a clasp so that nothing changed, or ever would. Of course, that made no sense. Later, even thinking about it repulsed me. The didact checked in on me and tested my limbs, thumped my chest, hummed over my prone body. I assumed he would declare the mutation a failure. I did not feel like any sort of forerunner, young or old.
Be glad, he said. You are not becoming a warrior, not entirely. But you'll do.
What am I becoming? I asked. If I was to live, I needed to know where I might fit in, what rate would accept my hideously distorted body.
In a little while, you will be hungry, he said. The ship will prepare special food. When you're ready, join me in the control center. We need to plan how we will approach the Sanshum.
When will I access the domain? When will I receive your knowledge?
The potential is already there, Builder. But take it slowly for now.
I walked on my own to the control center. Shakas and Riser were not present. I wonder if the didact had locked them away during all the time I was out of action. He stood by a direct view of the stars. The control center's wide, curved floor had sprouted a number of instruments I did not immediately recognize. One of them, it turned out, was there to give me my special food. The didact pointed without looking at me. I sat and ate. I ate a lot. And then the second round of pain began. But I was not allowed to hide away and lie down. Our work was beginning. Chapter 17. I put my armor on after I stopped being hungry and feeling terrible. It required some adjustments before matching my new, larger body. The little blue female in the back of my thoughts was still there but seemed reluctant to deal with me. I had to dig deep to even find her. I felt as if my armor were judging me. The didact observed, blinking with slow dignity. He rearranged himself on the floor and turned his back to the steadiness of the stars. "The armor's broken," I said.
"You're different. The Ancilla knows that, but she won't cater to you. You're no longer a manipular. You have to listen better."
The didact seemed remarkably patient. Perhaps he remembered his own brevet mutation all those thousands of years ago. "The domain... I don't feel anything."
"I would say that is also your fault, but perhaps not this time. I, too, have difficulty accessing the domain at present. It is a mystery for now. Perhaps in time we will explore together and see if it can be solved."
Disappointed, I stood up, performed a quick diagnostic on my armor, watched everything chart up clear and fine, then focused, trying to will my thoughts to be more mature. Still, I couldn't get the Ancilla to cooperate. She came and went in different places in my head, but would not do anything I asked, perhaps because my internal speech was garbled. "Where did the humans go?" I asked the didact when I was sure this process was getting nowhere.
"I locked them in a room with plenty of food they seemed to like."
"Why?"
"They asked too many questions."
"What sort of questions?"
"How many humans I've killed, that sort of thing."
"Did you answer?"
"No."
"The librarian filled them full of knowledge they can't handle. They're like me."
"Yes, they're like you. But they seem to actually be listening. They just don't like what they're hearing."
Chapter 18. My first successful, though stumbling, efforts to access the didact's experiences produced scattered impressions of darkness, brilliance, rolling suns, grief, and sickness and glory, complete chaos. My Ancilla was still balky. I had to find my own way of accepting and interacting with the knowledge. What I managed was a crude arrangement, missing fully 9/10 of the subtlety and subtext and power, but at least the memories began to open to me. Soon, I was jittering and plunging my way through a great space battle, events moving far too quickly for me to make much sense of it. I had no idea where or when this was. I could not correlate these events with any historical record. Complicating the recovery was many hundreds of points of view, threading through and around the central events, chopping and intercutting, and a remarkably different perception of objective reality. As a Promethean, the didact simply saw things differently. Clearly, 1,000 years ago, when entering battle, the didact had plugged into the full sensory experience of thousands of his warriors, something I could barely imagine and certainly not control. My Ancilla fell far behind, glowing between all the half-processed, crudely assembled information like a distant blue star, frantically seeking details which connected all this to real history. What startled me as I explored the threads and tried to collapse them into a usable narrative was how pitiful objective reality was all by itself. The combined threads, even the chaos of uncombined threads, were far richer, far more evocative and informative. In my education as a manipular, it had seemed to me that my teachers and even my Ancillas had been intent on having me memorize the bare facts and not add my own interpretations. They did not trust me to enrich the whole, I was young and naive. I was foolish. Even now, it was obvious the Didac's memories resisted my adding any coloring from my own experience. I had not been there. Now I understood that no matter how sophisticated one became, the total richness was something no individual could ever capture or truly know.
It must not be constrained. It is ever raw, ever rich. I tried to emerge from this pool of ecstatic excess, the so-called solid reality of the ship, of my armor, of the space and stars around us, was suddenly ominous, frightening. I had difficulty distinguishing these different states. I was drunk. I fell back from the memories and tried to re-engage with my core self. And suddenly, as if everything had come into focus, I rode the whip-snap of over a dozen threads, warrior threads. They had a place, a name, an historical marker. I could not scramble free. I plunged deep into the first battle of Charum Hakor, one of the final engagements between Forerunners and humans. I saw thousands of war sphinxes spiraling in clouds around the planet like flocks of deadly sparrows, twisting and entangling human ships, sending them tumbling into the atmosphere to disintegrate, or slamming them against the unbending pillar of a precursor ruin stretching high over the planet, or being slammed in return, the memory thread suddenly burning bright at the end, winking out, shriveling away. Passion and the flow of a warrior's life, and too often, death. The deaths jerked and whipped around me, the end of a warrior's life in a spreading, sparkling plume of molten metal, carbonized flesh, plasma, and pure gamma rays. That flailing, crying, terrified abruptness felt as sharp as a plunging dagger. I could not stop it. I saw the implacable precursor ruins of Charum Hakor, studded with human constructs, like ivy growing on great trees. Vast cities and energy towers and defense platforms operating at geosync and equigravitation, little less sophisticated than Forerunner ships and platforms and stations. Humans had been a great power, a worthy adversary, technologically. What about spiritually? How did they connect to the mantle? Were they truly our brethren? I could not know. The Didact had been remarkably open to those ideas at the time. You must know your enemy, and never underestimate or belittle them. No human threads in the domain, no way of knowing their reactions. The domain is not complete. Was that my thought, or the critical observation of the Didact himself, realizing the greatness of his enemy? I managed to lurch free and came to myself in my cabin, under the single wall lamp, gasping, crying out, my fingers scrabbling at the bunk and at the bulkhead as if to dig myself free. Truth was not for fools. Chapter 19. The hatch to the humans' quarters opened as I approached. I stepped inside and saw Shakus and Riser in the middle of the floor, sitting cross-legged, facing each other. Their armor lay beside them. Each had tucked a single foot into the leggings. Shakus did not move, but Riser opened one eye and glanced at me.
"Blue Lady is exploring us," he said.
"You're not wearing your armor," I said.
He moved his foot. The armor moved with it.
"This is enough."
Shakus stretched up his arms with a cross expression.
"What have we done to deserve this?"
he asked.
"I had nothing to do with your Gaius."
"Blue Lady says we have many lives inside," Riser said.
"We're seeing some of what happened on Charum Hakor," Shakus said. "Before the battles, before the war. I'm trying to see the caged prisoner. It's there somewhere, but why should I care?"
"I wish I understood," I told him. "I don't, not yet. There's a greater story, something that brings glory to your people, but I don't see it. I think it is yours to see, not mine."
Chakas got to his feet, breaking the connection with the armor and the ancilla.
There's food. Forerunner food. You might as well have some.
Reiser climbed onto a low bunk and brought forward a pair of trays covered with floating ampules of grayish material. It looked little different from the special food provided after my brevet mutation. Clearly, warrior servants were not tied to creature comforts. I tried to eat a little. We're approaching a quarantine system, I said. What have you learned? What do you remember about the Sanshium?
They are shadows, Reiser said. They come, they go.
I don't think I like them, Shaka said. Too charming. Slippery.
Well, we're going to visit them, and I think the Didact is going to want you to meet and talk with them. We all seem to be part of a game he's playing with the librarian.
A tricky game?
Reiser asked.
A very serious game.
I think she wasn't able to warn him about what's been happening since he entered the Warrior Keep, so we're his special tools.
Few would suspect us. How does that work? Shakas asked.
We visit the places of history. We see, it stimulates us. We remember. Mostly you see, and you remember. Now that I have the Didact's memories, I think I'm supposed to link up with the domain, but the domain's not cooperating.
Domain, Reiser held up his hand. We don't know what that is.
I'm not sure I do either. You talk with your ancestors. In the memory the librarian gave you, locked inside you, waiting to be activated. Is that a fair statement? Reiser waggled his hand, meaning I presumed yes. His face relaxed, and he cocked his head. Shakas looked at him curiously. The domain is where we keep our deep ancestral records, I said. They're stored there forever, available to any forerunner anywhere, no matter how far away.
Not ghosts.
No, but sometimes strange. The records don't always stay the same. Sometimes they change. It is not known why. I flashed through some of the Didact's own experiences with the domain, confused and unsatisfactory.
Like real memories, Shaka said, watching me closely.
I suppose. Such changes are regarded as sacred. They are never reversed or corrected. And I learned something about the Didact's war sphinxes. They're all that's left of his children. Reiser whistled and squatted, then rocked gently, screwing up his face again.
The war killed many.
But humans fought well, I said. I think we're about to face a common enemy, not the Sanshium. Shakas and Reiser focused fully on me.
Empty cage, Reiser said, and folded his arms around his body as if embracing and reassuring himself.
The ship's ancilla flashed before us. The Didact requests your presence in the command center.
All of us?
Humans will stay in quarters until the situation is better understood. Reiser chuffed, then sat cross-legged again and closed his eyes, lifting his chin as if listening to distant music. Slowly, Shakas sat as well, and they were as I had found them. I took the lift to the command center. Chapter 20.
I've sent a message to the Deep Reverence and revealed our location,
the Didact confessed as we moved down Star, approaching the interlocking vigilance of the system's outer defenses.
We'll be destroyed if we don't communicate our intentions to the commander. Among Prometheans, he was known as the Confirmer.
On the deck of the command center, we again stood in virtual view, unsupported in wide space, surrounded by stars. One of the small outer worlds passed by, airless, rocky, lifeless. The displays conveyed updated information about the quarantine shield, along with what could be gathered about the three protected planets down Star, two apparently inhabited by Sanshium. The third, a storage depot for stockpiled and presumably outdated Forerunner weapons.
I saw the Sanshum in my other memory, as they had been 10,000 years before. A sleek, beautiful race, strong and sensual, intelligent but not overly impressed by intellect, capable of seducing other species with their almost universal beauty. Slippery indeed. Around the Sanshum, it seemed, all emotions melted into uncritical passion. The sole exceptions in their historical experience, humans and Forerunner. Our ship cruised on its long orbit down star for 100 million kilometers before a strong signal was received from the Deep Reverence.
A Promethean interrupts our solitude, claiming to be the Didact,
a hoarse, deep voice said, accompanied by a visual of an old and nearly shapeless mass of muscle and scarred skin. Here was a warrior servant who had undergone, it seemed to my newly informed eye, more battles and mutations than the Didact, some less successful than others.
Is it truly you, my old nemesis?
The Didact revealed no dismay at what time had done to his fellow Promethean.
I told you I'd return. We have important business and need your assistance. Are there traps laid here? Tell me true.
Are you in trouble again?
In an aside to me, the Didact said,
It is the Confirmer, but something feels wrong. The quarantine shield has been in battle mode for some time, I think.
What would cause that? I asked. The Didact looked wary and grim.
Recent punitive action, possibly. But the Sanshum were model citizens after they were brought here. Try to focus downstar on the Sanshum worlds.
To the Deep Reverence, he said,
How long have you been stationed here without relief?
My fingers worked quickly to draw up the required sensor data. I studied the two inner planets in the low-res scan available through the quarantine shield. The surface features were mostly obscured. What I could make out deviated substantially from the Ancilla records. The features had been rearranged. I thought immediately of Fon Hakor. Nothing on the scale of a spaceship could be resolved, except, of course, for the Deep Reverence.
12 centuries,
the Confirmer said.
They have been years of blessed opportunity for growth and reflection. The Council assigned we old warriors to guard and protect our ancient enemies, now prostrate before Forerunner power. I do my duty, and nothing less. You should see my collection of Sanshum carvings. Magnificent. I value it more because it's worthless. No Forerunner pays heed to the artifacts of vanquished foes. I presume you wish to visit my poor vessel?
That's my first intention, the Didact said.
Just a moment. Let me check with my staff. Oh, wait. I have no staff.
You're alone?
The Didact gave me a look that might have asked, Are all the old warriors alone?
Out here, the domain is my only consolation, the Confirmer said. I've been working my way through ancestors I never knew existed, but of late the domain has rebuffed me.
I've come here on a mission for the Librarian,
the Didact said.
We're traveling with 2 humans chosen by her. We need to question the leaders of the Sanshum.
The Librarian. The Life Shaper herself. She was just through here on some mission or other. Caused some difficulties. Perhaps you've noticed the shield and vigilance are on alert.
My wife has been busy,
the Didact said. I continued to study the inner planets. From what little we could see through the filter of the quarantine shield, nearly all looked darker, probably damaged.
Curious as to why anybody even cares about these remnants of our old wars, the Confirmer said. Every now and then I intercept a message about big events going on at the capital. I ignore them. They have nothing for me. No new orders. The domain is all I have left. And now it shut me out. Do you know why?
I'd like to view those reports.
When you get here, we can rummage around in the ship's memory and look for them. But allowing the Sanshum to meet up with humans, that's forbidden. We separated them for a reason, old friend.
May we approach and discuss?
A pause. The confirmer appeared to be turning a small sculpture around and around in his thick, coarse hands. Then,
"For the didact himself, of course. Adjust your orbit down, Star, match your ship's ancilla to these codes, and the Vigilance will avoid weaving a barrier where your orbit intersects. Glorious to hear from you. A living friend from the old days. So much to get caught up on."
The transmission ended. Our ship altered its course and matched the codes. Displays revealed that the Vigilance were indeed no longer flashing in and out of the sector where our orbit would penetrate the blockade.
"The confirmer was a grand warrior and a good friend, but I never considered him much of an expert in the fine arts,"
the didact said.
"Keep the sensors trained on those planets."
He appeared troubled. "Should I bring the humans forward?"
"Yes. Make sure they wear their armor."
I went aft and opened the cubicle assigned to Shakus and Riser. They emerged reluctantly, eyes thick with sleep. Riser dragged his armor behind him.
"The blue woman and I argued," he explained. "I don't like her."
Shakus gave me a dirty look. He was far too involved in his own inner turmoil to pay attention to the slight physical changes I was already showing. I told Riser, "We may be going into danger. The armor will protect you. I'll show you how to shut down the ancilla if you want, for now."
"Make her quiet," he said. "She gets upset with me."
"Exactly." With a shudder, he allowed the armor to wrap him again, and stood of a height to match mine, almost. I was still growing.
"You look bigger," Riser said dubiously. "Smell different, too."
I showed them how to deactivate the ancilla, then queried my own blue woman about their complaints.
"What they remember makes them angry," she explained. "They ask questions I am not equipped to answer. I try to calm them. That only makes them angrier."
"Well, stop calming them," I told her. "There's got to be a reason for what they're experiencing." The deep reverence appeared formidable in close sensor scans. I had first seen Fortress-class vessels during ceremonies back in my early youth in the Orion Nebular Complex. The largest single forerunner ships of war, fortresses were 50 kilometers in length, with a huge hemisphere on the forward end, a mid-level series of layered platforms equipped with launch bays and gun mounts, and below that, a long, weapon-studded tail. At their widest, they were 10 kilometers across and could carry hundreds of thousands of warriors, as well as automated phalanxes that could be guided by warriors at a ratio of 1 to 1 million weapon ships. It took me a moment to realize that I wasn't accessing my own youthful experience or memory of those past ceremonies, but the didacts. Shakus looked miserably upon the deep reverence.
"We're here to visit our old allies, aren't we?" he said. "Did you punish them like you did us?"
"They cut a deal," I said. "Let's talk about that later." The didact lifted an arm as if in warning.
"We're being brought into the quarantine,"
he said.
"If there are any traps, we should learn soon enough."
The ship's ancilla appeared on a raised platform between us. "Ship's control has been handed over to the commander of the system," she said. "Within the shield, all sensors are limited to low-res and close-in scans. We will be more than half-blinded."
"We know how to pick them, don't we?"
Shakus asked Riser, as they stood stiff and miserable. Our armor had once again rooted us to the deck. As we approached and then maneuvered to docking position, it became more and more obvious that the Deep Reverence had seen better days. It looked barely operational. The surface was a study in collisions, grooves, craters, unrepaired battle damage, worse by far than the stardust pox on the old war sphinxes. The launch ramps and bays were mostly empty. A token force of picket and fast attack runners remained, and even these did not look as if they had been tended to recently. Evidently, forerunners had parked the fortress in its orbit and hoped to forget about it, about the old war, about this world, about the Sanshum in general. A pact had been made, but to nobody's pride or benefit. The fortress had been abandoned in place, out of shame. Still, the old war platform remained impressive, if only for its size. Compared with the fortress, our ship was a bit of fluff stuck on the sleeve of a giant. Our ship's ancilla extruded a walkway. A few minutes after, we walked the fortress's cold, bare decks. Not to upset the confirmer for the moment, we left the humans behind. The space across which we walked was almost void of atmosphere, the far reaches lost in violet shadow, the bulkheads and deck coated with a thin, crunchy rime of water ice. From all around came a shrill, wandering, whining sound, like vacant whistling, intermixed every few seconds with a pulsing thump, like a soft mallet striking the outer hull.
Long duty has not been good to the confirmer,
the didact observed.
No warrior should allow his weapons to rust.
A lift dropped from the high arched ceiling and opened for us to enter. From all around came a crackling, poorly reproduced voice, filling and echoing through the vault.
Come higher, old friend. We of the Broken Domain await your inspection.
The didact looked down upon me as the lift door closed.
This may not go well. No blame on your head, young First Form.
I am patient with a keen edge, I replied. This impressed him.
You're starting to sound like a warrior,
he said.
But you still look like a builder. Your strength, how is that progressing?
Bigger, I said, inspecting my hand. It no longer looked ugly to me. My thoughts were catching up with my growth. I don't ache as much.
The confirmer once commanded legions. No more. I doubt there will be any sort of fight. I wonder why he did not choose the cryptum over this.
He wished to serve, I said.
I served by my departure, not to provoke conflict,
the didact grumbled. He keeps talking of the domain. Has that been his only connection with Forerunners?
Perhaps. That concerns me. Sometimes there is a kind of broken mirror aspect.
We reached a mid-level within the hemisphere of domiciles. The level was a confusion of half-made walls and labyrinthine channels, crossed by ghostly ramparts and bridges. Here the atmosphere was still too thin, not safe without armor. The hard light overlays were weak and inconsistent. The fortress's power situation had apparently been dire for many centuries. I would no more have trusted a stroll over these flickering, corrupt structures than if they had been made of frost.
Stay close,
the didact said. Ahead, a large, lumpish figure wearing what looked like parts from three sets of armor stepped into a dim, snow-flecked shaft of light. This must be the confirmer, I thought. But the didact's features did not reveal gladness or even instant recognition.
Permission granted to board the Deep Reverence, the figure said.
He came closer, surrounded by a circling ring of ship's displays, conveying what seemed to be, from where I stood, almost useless information, or no information at all.
We are honored to be received on your great ship,
the didact said.
Many served and are remembered.
Many served,
the confirmer said.
Did you bring the Grammarian with you, the Strategos?
Not this time,
the didact said.
As I said, we come on an errand from a life worker, my wife.
And as I told you, she came through here recently,
the confirmer said.
If you ask me, she was too full of herself. But she had the stamp of the council, so I asked no questions. I do not interfere in the politics of higher rates.
Aye,
the didact said.
We ourselves do not have the stamp of the council.
I thought as much. Ever in difficulty. First you marry a life worker, then you oppose the builders. Makes me wonder whether you deserved my brevet mutation.
The confirmer stepped forward and clasped the didact in a thick, clanking embrace. The didact glanced at me in some embarrassment. I pointed and mimed, him? The didact raised his eyes. Snow circled them for a moment until the confirmer let go and held the didact at arm's length. The old Promethean now turned to regard me. Never before had I seen an uglier, more gnarled and broken forerunner of any class. His skin, what I could make out through the almost cancerous overweave of armor, was mottled gray, spotted with unhealthy veins of paleness, tinged with pink. He had none of the patches of bluish-white bristling fuzz on crown or shoulders that marked the warrior servants I had known, including the didact. In his mouth, I saw two solid ridges of stone-black teeth, grown together, with a hint of darting tongue between.
"Not yet, old friend. Amuse me. Tell me again tales of the strife we've seen, the victories we marshaled. I am lonely here, and time stretches to intolerable lengths."
Chapter 21. Truly, the deep reverence seemed like a great tree riddled through by the wandering whimsy of a single, awful termite. The higher we progressed within the fortress, and progress is not the correct word, the deeper the sense of undisciplined decay. I wondered if the confirmer had, for the last 1,000 years, spent his time building useless follies throughout the decks, above and below, draining the ship's resources and perverting its original design. We came finally to a space warm enough and with sufficient oxygen to relieve the burden of our armor. The hiss of replenishment was like a gasp as our ancillas sucked in reserves for what they, too, seemed to think might be a desperate time. The confirmer's command center was hung with tattered draperies of a design I could not recognize. Within the drapes, pushing up through or rising between, were dozens of sculptures made of stone and metal, some quite large, and all wrought with a grace and skill that was evident, whatever their subjects might have been. Abstractions or representations, who could tell? But as a command center, this space was no more functional than the empty vault we had first entered. Clearly, the fortress had become a cluttered ghost of its former might. The confirmer ordered up seating arrangements. With creaks and groans, the deck produced only 2 chairs suitable for Prometheans, plus a small bump that might have been meant for me. Some of the drapes drew aside, ripping and falling in dusty shreds, and 3 sculptures toppled, one of them nearly striking me before it landed on the deck with a solid thunk and split in 2. The confirmer carried bottles from a broad cabinet half hidden in the drapes, walking with a left-leaning lurch.
"The best I have to offer," he said, and poured out 3 glasses of a greenish liquid.
He sat and offered a glass to the didact and 1 to me. Neither of the glasses were clean.
"You remember Kasna,"
he said, lifting his own glass in toast. The liquid inside smelled sweet and sour, pungent, and left a stain on the glass.
"The Sanshum have always excelled in the arts of intoxication. This is from their finest reserves."
The didact looked at his glass, then downed it in a gulp, to the confirmer's dismay.
"That's rare stuff," he chided.
"You allow the Sanshum to travel between their 2 worlds?
The didact asked, returning the glass to the dusty tray.
"They are confined within the boundary of the quarantine," the confirmer said. "There's no reason to hold them fast."
"In many ways, they were worse than humans,"
the didact said.
"Misled and misguided, they now claim."
"No matter at this late date,"
the didact said.
"You've not had contact with any other warrior in how many years?"
"The living centuries, centuries,"
the confirmer said.
"The last shipment of..."
He stopped himself, looked about the curtained chamber with eyes that had lost nearly all focus.
"Many colleagues are brought here, you know, exiled with less dignity than the council allowed you. They've fought and lost many political battles since you vanished."
"Where are they?"
"A few were allowed their own cryptums. The rest... the council shipped us their durances."
the deep reverence has become a graveyard?
The Didac asked, the last color departing his already pale features.
An acre of mantle. A memorial. It's what is allowed to our class, now that they have been decommissioned and banished from council action. The Sanshum come here every little while to repair and tend to the displays, and I am grateful. I have neither the staff nor the energy to do the job myself.
Our enemies tend our dead?
The Didac stood and seemed to be looking for something to pick up and throw. I moved away, still no match for his strength.
The war's long over,
the confirmer said with a feeble attempt at dignity.
We face greater enemies. And yet, you have chosen exile rather than argue with the council and face the inevitable. And relying on a life worker to hide you and no doubt provide for your return. I have nothing to regret, my friend.
The confirmer moved with that awkward gait toward the nearest sculpture, a dark green, overarching shape patterned with what might have been foliage. His hand stroked the smoothly carved surface.
The Sanshum ambassador leaves these as a form of respect for their esteemed conquerors. He arrives in a strange chair on wheels. I do believe they now require their leaders to be paraplegics. I also believe they hold me in some affection. The Sanshum are not much like they used to be.
Decadent seekers after sensual gratification, you mean? Clever frauds who betray their alliances?
Indeed, they once worshipped youth and beauty. Not so now. Elders rule, and the youth serve their bidding. True, there is still much celebration about procreation. Unseemly, but their populations are contained. They breed selectively, and so they do not outgrow their planets, as once they threatened.
Who leads them now?
There have been many titles, many names, many assassinations. I've lost track of who or what speaks for their two worlds.
Find out,
the Didac said.
Tell them a senior Promethean needs to question them about Chaddam Hakor and what was imprisoned there.
Now was the confirmer's turn to lose all the color in his face. He slowly lowered the glass.
The Timeless One?
The Master Builder has finished his supreme weapon. It was tested near Chaddam Hakor,
the Didac said.
No one seems to have anticipated the effect on precursor structures. The arena has been breached.
Impossible,
the confirmer said. I thought for a moment that the possibility of a new challenge brought a stiffer carriage to the old warrior, a return of proud bearing. But after a moment's thought, he looked around the half-hidden chamber, the dusty, tattered drapes, the dozens of sculptures, some still seated on their transport pallets, and seemed almost to deflate within his patchwork armor.
Impossible,
he repeated.
If the cage is broken and the prisoner is missing, where could it have gone? We never understood what it was to begin with.
The Didac spoke with it. But that part of the Didac's memories were not at all clear to me. Too dangerous for a newly mutated first form. Was I not trusted after all? But he had transferred so much.
That's why it's imperative we question the Sanshum.
I won't stop you. Your ship is heavily armed, however. The weapons must be left with me.
All except my war sphinxes. They are no longer lethal and serve me as remembrance.
I understand.
We also have two humans.
Forbidden.
Necessary to our mission.
The confirmer held the Didac's gaze. Again, a shadow of the old strength seemed to return.
If the council has not formally decommissioned your rank, you are my superior. The humans are your responsibility. The weapons cannot pass, however.
That seemed to settle the matter. An understanding between two old warriors. They drank again, and this time the didact sipped rather than gulped.
The librarian. Did she explain her mission?
She selected individuals from the Sanshum and other species and took them away. I understand that's what she does now all over the galaxy. Maybe she collects species the way I collect sculptures.
Where did she take them?
An installation called the Ark. She was escorted by these new builder security types. Haven't you spoken with her?
An awkward silence.
No,
the confirmer said.
Of course not. That would be too easy, wouldn't it?
Chapter 22. Our ship inserted itself into a downstar orbit. As we approached the first of the two Sanshum worlds, the didact confided to me what already seemed obvious.
The confirmer no longer maintains duty fitness. He did not even check to see if my rank is still in place.
Is it? I asked.
I have no way of knowing.
The librarian knew you would come here after Charon Hakor.
It would be a reasonable assumption. My wife has her own plans that she's slowly, very slowly, allowing me to discover.
Others might suspect the same and prepare a trap?
Of course. If we are her warriors now, we must accept an element of risk. Since the humans carry her mark, putting them with the Sanshum may release crucial memories. It's a risk worth taking.
They're not at all happy with what they remember, I said.
They're accessing unpleasant truths, the thoughts and recollections of human warriors, defeated, bitter, and about to be executed.
She took their essences before they were killed?
She had nothing to do with what happened in those days. It was warrior policy to preserve what we could of foes before they were removed.
Removed, I said.
And in this instance, we had excellent reason to harvest memories.
The didact continued.
Even before we went to war with humans, they were fighting another foe, a most hideous scourge we had yet to encounter, and about which we still knew very little.
I looked inward. The Flood, I said. This much knowledge was open to me. Images, emotions, but all jumbled and incomplete.
That was their name for it. While they fought us, they defeated that other enemy and pushed it beyond the edge of the galaxy. An epic battle. We did not know of their victory until we defeated them. And we wished to learn from them how to fight the Flood should it return, as seemed inevitable. However, for obvious reasons, they felt no compulsion to share their secret. They kept it distributed among themselves, hidden from all our techniques.
Surely, humans did not fight this timeless one, the missing captive.
No.
The didact lifted his long arm and swept it slowly along the visible limb of the Sanshum world, emerging into day.
It predated the humans who excavated it. It predated the Flood. However, I shared the humans' opinion that whatever it was extraordinarily dangerous.
And still, you spoke with it. He seemed conflicted that I knew about this.
You see that much.
How could you penetrate precursor technology? What did you ask of it?
That will emerge when you are ready, and in full context,
the didact said.
Our weapons have been removed, but this ship is still full of powerful tools. You, for example, and the humans. The librarian has been conducting her surveys and research for the 1,000 years I was in exile, and seems to have learned a few things she does not dare pass along directly. Things perhaps even the council has not been told. But through you and the humans, indirectly. You have been placed on a slow fuse, timed for the proper moment, and even I have no idea when that might be.
It all sounds awfully inefficient, I said.
I've learned to trust my wife's instincts.
Did you share your knowledge with her before you entered the cryptum?
Some.
Did she share her knowledge with you?
Not much.
She didn't trust you, then?
She knew my circumstances. Once my cryptum was discovered and I was released, it was inevitable that I would eventually be forced to serve the Master Builder and the Council, whatever my objections. But she gave me some time, a delay before that happens. We have this journey to make and questions to ask, in context.
The ship's Ancilla appeared and informed us we were now permitted to approach the largest Sanshum world.
Bring your humans here,
the Didact said. They are not my...
On your actions, they will live or die, serve as heroes to their species, or be snuffed like tiny flames. Are they not yours, First Form?
I lowered my head and complied. Our ship continued its downstar fall along a stretched elliptical orbit. If we decided to abort, we could whip back out and make a break for the quarantine shield, hoping, I suppose, that the codes would still work and we'd be released. Faint hope. Chapter 23. Finally, we were close enough that our sensors penetrated the smoky haze that covered the shadowy ruins of Sanshum cities. The destruction hinted at from afar was now manifest. Shakus and Riser watched with us on the command deck, faces deadpan. Riser examined me with a puzzled expression, then wrinkled his nose. Shakus did not even glance at me. If they felt horror, awe, memory, they did not reveal this to us. Already I saw how much they had changed, how much they had grown. They were almost entirely different beings from the ones I had met on Erde Tyrene. We all were. At least, I told myself, my service was voluntary. Of a kind.
There,
the Didact confirmed, and swept his finger over the magnified images. Trace signatures of engine plumes visible even through the waste heat of cities on fire, the outlines of fleets of landed or hovering ships, some of them larger than ours, many smaller.
Life workers don't carry weapons,
he said.
Builder security is here, but they're lying low, hiding in the obscurity. They must know I'm here. Let's take a deeper look. There, preservation and dignity class escorts, hundreds of swift seekers, diversion class war machines, all this to protect a few life workers? What happened down there? Is she still in the system?
His voice carried tones of both resignation and despair, and a touch of hope, as if defeat and capture and whatever worse things he had imagined might all be worthwhile in